Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today. We are grateful to have Ocusoft as a sponsor of our show. Since 1986, Ocusoft has served the community with a unique selection of proprietary brands, from dry eye care and protection with Retain line of artificial tears to eyelid hygiene with Ocusoft Lid Scrub Eyelid Cleansers, essential for maintaining healthy eyes. Zoria Skincare from Ocusoft offers revolutionary products for people with sensitive skin and eyes. Thank you to Ocusoft for being the number one doctor-recommended brand of eyelid cleansers and providing patients and doctors with products and supplies to continue to keep our eyes healthy. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. April Jasper Show, and I am excited to be here with Dr. Megan Lott. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for asking me to be here. I'm very excited to be with y'all today.
Well, you have an amazing story, and your passion for your profession is incredible. And I think what you do, Megan, a lot of patients and doctors are not really familiar with. So I want to get your story out there, and I want you to share with them how what you do has such an impact on our patients. But let's start with who you are and where you practice. Tell us a little bit about you, your family, and how you ended up in the specialty that you're in.
So I am Dr. Megan Lott, as she said, and I practice currently in South Mississippi in Hattiesburg. I have an office in Hattiesburg, and I practice actually throughout the state now, which is pretty exciting.
That's cool.
So I'll tell you kind of how that came about. But my husband and I moved back to our hometown, Hattiesburg, about 8 years ago, whenever I opened up this new practice. We have one child. He is absolutely beautiful and perfect in every way. And we are having just a ball being together as a family this week.
All right. So tell us about this practice. And is this what you did straight out of school? Because
absolutely.
You look like you just graduated.
No, absolutely not. So I graduated in 2006. And whenever I graduated, I had big dreams and was going to aspire to have this boutique. Just a little boutique optical. That was what I was thinking.
Right. Well, you're very fashionable, so that makes sense.
Well, I ended up in very, very rural area where I was the only eye doctor for probably about a good 30 to 45 minutes. So my practice was highly disease-based. So I was as far from a boutique optical as you can get in Mississippi. And I enjoyed it. I really liked it. It wasn't anything that I thought I would ever be doing, but I loved it. I loved my patients. I loved caring for my patients. I was able to see all the things that I was never supposed to see whenever you learn in optometry school. Learn this for boards. You're never going to see this.
Right. They'll tell you.
I saw all of it. Yeah. Saw not even just once. Sometimes I saw it multiple times.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was just a high disease practice. But after a while, it just started wearing on my soul a little bit that I was able to see these patients. I was diagnosing these patients. I was managing these patients. But maybe not really helping these patients, which is why I went into optometry to begin with. Is I really wanted to be able to help and to give and to just improve their quality of life.
So back up a little bit, because I don't know that everybody will understand what you mean when you say you're managing them but not helping them. What does that mean?
Well, I was monitoring. I was doing a lot of monitoring their pressures for glaucoma. I was helping them understand why their blood glucose was important for diabetic retinopathy.
Right.
I was helping them manage vitamins for macular degeneration. And I was working a lot with ocular disease. And it was fulfilling in its own way, but I was getting to the point where I wasn't fulfilled.
Right.
And around that time, that's whenever I had my child now, and he actually had an intermittent esotropia, which is kind of an in and out eye turn that would go in. And I'm an eye doctor. I'm supposed to know all things eye related.
Right.
I mean, and about 9 months of age, I thought, I really don't know what to do with this kid. You know, all I know to do is send him for surgery. Well, fortunately, I called a colleague of ours that had retired who was renowned in all things vision therapy. And I just said, hey, look, I've got a 9-month-old. I guess I just need to send him for surgery, right? And he said, absolutely not. We're going to do vision therapy. And I said, on a 9-month-old? That's unheard of.
That's cool.
Who does this? And sure enough, within about 2 months, there was zero eye turn. And he is 10 years old now, 20/20, 100% depth perception, great little baseball player, all
what a
great
story.
In school, no eye turn, nothing. And so at that time, he came to me, the doctor, Dr. W.C. Maples, and he said, someone in Mississippi has got to do vision therapy because nobody was doing it at the time. And I agreed, somebody's got to. Let's go find them because it sure wasn't going to be me. I had zero interest in vision therapy. And he kind of just capped at it. And I said, well, give me a little time. Let me brush up. Let me do some serious praying and thinking on this one.
Yeah.
And within that year, it became really apparent we were going to open a practice. So we moved home to Hattiesburg. That's what brought us back home. We opened a cold practice that was going to be just vision therapy.
Oh, wow.
That has since evolved over the last 8 years to where we are doing a good number of patients with brain injury.
Oh, wow.
Which has then evolved now into low vision.
Yep.
So when I began practicing, 18 years ago, I did not know, sadly, that I could do vision therapy on a young child. I did not know how much a brain injury could impact vision. I really didn't know what a low vision patient was.
Right.
And I'm so ashamed to say. And so now, whenever I do get the opportunity to speak, typically it is to doctors who are in that primary eye care setting to let them know, guys, you have the power to change. So no longer am I managing these diseases, which is fantastic, and there is a place for that, but I'm actually getting to treat the patient.
Wow.
So one thing that we say is, you know, while it's true, there's nothing more that can be done for the eyes, there's almost always something that can be done for the patient. So now I'm really getting to work with functional vision and see a patient as a whole, not just a set of eyeballs.
Are you looking for a nutritional supplement to help with your day-to-day vision needs? Look no further than MacuHealth. Recommended by doctors worldwide, MacuHealth offers a full line of products designed to support your vision and eye health. Available through eye care professionals on Amazon.com and directly on our website at MacuHealth.com. And here's the best part. Use the code OME24 when ordering direct from MacuHealth for special discounts. MacuHealth, nutrition you can see.
What do you see the most with patients with brain injuries? Like what type of
symptoms? Probably most of them come to me from either a stroke or a concussion. And the top three things that I'm always looking for is a midline shift, which is really going to impact their orientation, their spatial mobility, their gait, their walking, just huge impact on everything in life. The other thing is going to be ocular motor, the tracking difficulties, so reading, losing the place, motion sickness, that type of things.
Wow.
And probably convergence insufficiency. Those are the top three that I'm really looking for. Of course, they get dry eye with brain injuries, and they have accommodative issues and other things, but I would say those are really the top three.
So let's go back to, well, first of all, what also people don't know that are listening and watching today is that you travel also around and to different conferences, like you're here with us at the Optometric Management Symposium to help teach all of us in primary care optometry, how better to work with a low vision specialist in our area and how to do some basic things even in our practice. So I appreciate that. And I sure hope that every conference has you or someone that able to come in and talk about this because it's so important. And you're willing to do more, right?
Absolutely. One of the big things that I did not realize, and I'm so ashamed to admit, so I guess we're having confessional here.
That's okay. Helps us all learn.
Is that when I would send a patient with low vision, I would wait. Until they were 2100, 2200, because that's low vision. What I didn't realize is that patient, when they were 2040, 2050, they were having trouble doing day-to-day tasks. They weren't comfortable driving.
Yep.
They couldn't read their mail. And really listening to the patients, and that it's not a number, that it's just when they say, I can't see too, fill in the blank with these glasses.
So
that's when the referral needs to be made.
I think the thing that's awkward sometimes for us in our practices is that we don't know how to have that conversation with a patient without freaking them out because, I mean, I've been doing this for 32 years now, so I think I'm a little better at it than most people or some people just from experience. But how can you say to someone, so let's say someone comes in and says, I mean, they don't really even know they're 2040. They don't know their number. they just know that they're having a problem, and what they think I'm going to do is fix it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give them 20/20 vision.
That's
again.
Why they came in, because you're going to fix it.
Right. Yeah. So then when I can't, mm-hmm. help us, Megan, tell us what that conversation can sound like to explain to them why we can't, and pick any reason, pick a disease. What then we can tell them is the next best option without, as I said earlier, freaking them out.
Yeah. Well, they're already freaked out.
True.
So by the
That's
time
true.
They come to me, they're freaked out. Their quality of life is declining. And these patients, they just want their independence. You know, the big thing right now is macular generation. I mean, it's going to be on the rise. And we've got the baby boomers. And so let's talk with macular generation.
Okay.
Because everybody
That's
sees
good.
Macular generation patients. And with those patients, you're really wanting high contrast. The first thing you do is tell them to turn up the lights. Get them a light, a direct light. And then I would say, Miss Jones, you know, your eyesight, even though I'm trying to correct it with glasses, I'm only able to get you, if you want to say, 20/40, 20/50. However, the glasses are only going to correct the light rays that are entering the eye. The problem with your eyesight right now is actually in the retina. It's the back of your eye. So although I've done a great job getting the light rays to hit the back of your eye, the retina is causing that image to be distorted. And when it carries it to your brain's not able to perceive it as well as it should.
Right.
So I think that you might benefit from some devices specifically that are task specific, low vision devices that will help enlarge whatever it is you're trying to see, your reading material, to where we're able to get outside of that area of damage so that the good parts of your eye are able to pick it up and see it better.
That's good. That's good. And they're going to then say, really, we can do that?
Yes.
And it may be that I can't do it, but I would then send them to someone in my area who can.
And that person would be very grateful. And so would your patient. So funny story, I had a patient was referred to me from their retina specialist, and I happened to see patients in this retina specialist's office. So when I saw the patient back and I was dispensing her glasses to her, she was just elated, tears of joy, could see her crossword, could see her TV, could see this. So I thought this would be a great opportunity for me to pat myself on the back. So I went and got the other doctor. I said, hey, I want you to come see Miss Jones that you sent to me the other day. Come see her. He comes in the room and she just goes on and on. Thank you so much. You are so wonderful. Thank you for sending me. Oh, this is the best thing.
Oh, sure.
He was now getting all the of the accolades. I got nothing. You know, and all he did was make the referral and he was getting all of the praise and glory.
I love that.
While I was just sitting there.
But
patient was happy. He was happy. So.
Yeah, that's good. So you told us that you're traveling around to see patients outside of your practice. What does that look like?
Well, in Mississippi, since we are limited on the doctors that will prescribe low vision or manage these low vision patients, these patients have a hard time getting to exams. They can't drive, a lot of them.
Right.
So they have to depend on someone. And so what I do is I have patients that will call my office, and when I have 4 or 5 patients in an area, I will go to one of my colleagues' offices and I'll just work out of their office for a day.
That's great.
And I'll see those patients and then jump over to another office. And
that's great. I love that. What a good idea. All right. So let's back up and talk to me as if like you're teaching a class, and let's, you know, a real good summary of when and what should I be thinking of first of all, when I send a patient to you. When should I send that patient to you? You told me how to have the conversation. What else am I leaving out of that scenario?
Knowing just listening, you know, and a lot of times it's not the doctors that get to hear it. It's the paras that are coming in on the front end that are taking the case history.
That's true.
And so to me, all of the exams either start on the phone, actually.
Right.
So when a patient calls into my office and they go, hey, I need to make an appointment. I can't see. Okay. Why can't you see? You can't see to do what? Because low vision is very task specific. I'm not going to prescribe you a magnifier for read that you would be able to now use for driving.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So I want to know specifically what is it you're trying to read or do. And then as soon as you realize, hey, look, this patient says I'm coming in because I can't read anymore. I'm only able to get them to 20/50. Well, guess what? Book print is about 2040 right. or so.
Right.
Well, now they're kind of right on that ledge.
Wow.
I would say, hey, look, this is the best we're going to get. Demonstrate it. Do you want to maybe see if there's something that can help you see a little bit better? Let the patient make that call.
That's good.
But usually good lighting is the first thing I'm always going to tell doctors to recommend to their patients. But it really starts with the paras.
I love that. So how do people find other specialists, low vision specialists in their area? I mean, there may be people around them they don't even know do this. Is there a website? I mean, what do they do?
Well, for optometry, you've got the International Academy of Low Vision Specialists. That's a fantastic way to find people. Of course, through AOA, you can see, you know, who offers the rehabilitation there. And then also the Optometric Visual Development and Rehabilitation Association. It used to be the COVD.
Oh, okay.
So they've just changed their name. And so that's a good one. Those doctors are more apt to do vision therapy, but for your patients with brain injuries, that might be, you know, with the field loss, that might be a really good resource for there.
I love that. Megan, thank you so much for spending time with me. Any final words you'd like to share with folks? I mean, I love that your journey took you from what you thought it was going to be to where you are today. Mm-hmm. You probably have things still coming that you don't even know.
Every
because
day.
Look, you're here.
Every day.
You might write a book. Who knows?
Maybe.
Anything you'd like to leave folks with, though, as we close?
The biggest thing is just don't forget that a patient has functional vision whenever they leave your chair. They have needs. They have desires. They have things that they need to do. As simple as putting their toothpaste on a toothbrush. And if they can't see to do that, I mean, that patient's, their dignity and their independence, and you have the power to help them with that.
I love that. Thank you so much. Thanks for being here. And for all of you, look for the low vision specialists in your area so that if you don't have the ability, the time, the energy to see those patients, a lot of people have full schedules, then find someone who can and will. And remember, my big thing, the learning I took from this is send patients earlier. Don't
100%.
Wait until they can't function, because then it's even harder, I would imagine, for them to learn.
Yeah. And I made that mistake. So
yeah. Thank you so much, Megan.
Thank you.